Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Markets seem to be recovering, at least across the Asia Pacific this Tuesday, after a week of punishing losses. And we're even seeing the Straits Times Index today bouncing back. But let's not forget that a lot of the sell-off last week was triggered by inflationary concerns, which seem to be dominating market sentiment even more than the COVID-19 pandemic and the recent flare-ups we've seen. So how are all these concerns actually weighing on wealth management strategies? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Nolly De Pala. He's the Chief Investment Officer at TriLake Partners. He's here to talk to us about how he's viewing all these inflationary and taper tantrum fears and whether or not this should take precedence over the COVID-19 infections that seem to be rearing its ugly head again in certain pockets of the world, including here in Singapore. Nolly, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health and safe during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. Just got my second vaccination shot yesterday.
Wow. And how are you feeling, if I may lead off with that?
A little sore, that's it. Nothing different from the first one.
That sounds like one of those vaccines from the 80s then, I guess. But anyway, we are hoping that there's a vaccination to some of the shakiness that we're seeing in markets for the most part. And we have seen a very tough first half to the month of May, and markets seem to be grappling with persistent and pesky COVID cases. Now we have these inflationary concerns seeming to take center stage. But how is it shaping risk management strategies over at TriLake at the moment? Is this something that might be keeping you up at night a bit? And how might you be tweaking some of the risk management strategies, if at all?
Nothing really keeps us up at night. I think if that's happening, something wrong.
Right.
But no, we've always telegraphed that there will be some issues with inflation starting around the turn of the year. We knew that this year, that we were going to see a lot of strange numbers coming off on the inflation side. A lot of it is because of the base effect, coming from where we were this time last year with the price of oil going down there and the economy going to standstill. So we telegraphed that a lot when we spoke to our clients that, yes, there's going to be quite a few conversations in the financial press and the mainstream media about inflation starting around March. And I am on the side of the Fed here. I don't always say that, but I do think, and this, you know, these opinions can change,
of course,
when more data comes in. But I do think that the inflationary pressures are temporal. Most of it is base effects at the moment. Those effects will rub off as the months go by this year. I think the inflationary concerns will taper off, and then they'll come back up again fourth quarter. And, you know, not going to be surprised if U.S. inflation, the PCE, sits at maybe around 2%, 2.1% by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. That's certainly not something to, I'm not going to worry about it. I think it's a welcome number in the long run. It's certainly a welcome number in parts of Europe. The thing is, we know that markets are kind of like a Dustin Hoffman character in Rain Man, where they don't like anything shocking or severe changes. So I think it's the pace at which inflation goes up more than anything. Rather than the quanta, it is more the speed by which it rises. You know, rising inflation, the markets have always handled that. It's just the rapid rise could cause some dislocations here and there.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the word dislocations, because rising inflation, as we mentioned, also might also play into how valuations are being held or how they're tolerated. And in fact, a lot of these valuations, especially in the tech space, have actually been called into serious question because of these rising inflation and taper tantrums for the most part. What other sectors do you think might actually be at risk of getting burned should inflationary concerns prevail? And should these valuations actually be put under so much scrutiny if inflation is actually not going to be as sticky as some folks like yourself believe it might be?
Well, yeah, I mean, tech is the number one thing that we always talk about, simply because they're probably the longest duration assets that are most widely held out there. But if you think about, say, businesses that don't have much pricing power at this time, and the producer price index keeps going up, that could put a tremendous strain on a company's finances. So, you know, and these are rather selective. I can't just say that, oh, it's going to be consumer staples. They're going to have a hard time. I think the last 2 years and moving forward, I think selectivity has really paid off, and will continue to do so over the next several months, because it doesn't hit, these things won't necessarily hit sectors uniformly. You know, we like to say, you know, position yourself, say, in financials and commodities when inflation goes up. It's not going to be a uniform effect, I'm afraid, especially if you're talking about individual companies, not say the individual commodities themselves.
We're still speaking to Mr. Naldi Dipala, the CIO for TriLake Partners here on Money FM 89.3, to talk about the recent rise in inflation, whether or not markets should be so bothered by some of this. And a lot of this also will deal not so much with inflation itself, Naldi, but how it might actually influence what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And of course, a number of people in the media and in the investment space have brought up the taper tantrum episodes under the former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke about 9 years ago. Is this U.S. Fed going to be really the big determinant on how global markets overall might move with regards to whether or not they take these inflationary and these taper tantrums issues seriously, and just how much our investors may be putting a little bit too much stock into what the Fed does? Because as we've seen ad infinitum over the last couple of months, like a broken record, we've seen Fed Chair Jerome Powell say lower for longer, lower for longer, lower for longer. Are people just worrying for a little bit too much about this, despite the Fed's constant assurances?
Yes and no. I mean, you can safely say that ever since the GFC, the Fed and the other central banks, I suppose, are a major determinant in the future movement of markets. The increase in their balance sheets alone, I mean, that's not an elephant in the room. That's an elephant in the broom closet now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who owns the Japanese stock market, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the central bank. So, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a cause for healthy concern. But I do believe that when people are thinking lower for longer, we know that that's going to be true, say, for the lower end of the curve, for the left-hand side of the curve, probably for another 12, 18 months even. What we're more concerned about is the other side, you know, starting from the 10-year and up. And there, I'm certainly not convinced that it's all inflationary pressures that's moving that anyway. I mean, given the nature of what part of the yield curve is moving up and down, not quite consistent with, say, what happened during the temper tantrum. So mm-hmm. I think times are different. You know, you learn your lessons all the time. And we learned lessons from that episode as well. So moving forward, I think you should always not put too much stock in conventional wisdom, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. You brought up, you know, these ballooning balance sheets that now you call the elephants in the broom closets, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is a question that's been hanging on markets ever since the global financial crisis, because we did see the first ballooning of these balance sheets. Then we haven't really seen a lot of these balance sheets really reduced over time. But of course, you have the global, you have the COVID-19 pandemic now inflating these even further. Is it still important for some of these central banks to perhaps think about trimming their balance sheets? But how? And this follow-up question also is: how can they possibly do that if it's magnitudes bigger than what it was, say, 12 years ago?
Yeah, valid question. How can they do that? Another valid question is: why would they do that? Because it's unprecedented in size. That's not a good enough reason. There's a reason why, you know, they pumped up the balance sheet to this size. And, you know, is the Japanese central bank going to start dumping their equity ETFs? I don't think so. They can hold that for a while. And the Fed can keep buying the bonds and they can just keep it rolling off. Why second guess them? I think the best thing to do is just to, look at your portfolio. Is it appropriate for what you're trying to do? And the answer is different for everybody. You know, generalized advice never really never really makes much sense. And it's all about your particular circumstances. And if you want to, insulate yourself further from the negative effects of inflationary expectations, well and good. On the other hand, you know, some people may not want to do that. Some people, love the tech space. They love the fact that these companies are reinvesting in themselves. And yes, they will suffer when interest rates go up because, you know, the valuation will certainly go down. But for some people, they just want to invest in the future, whether it's genomics or 5G or whatever it is that they fancy. So it's a nice sport to play, and CIOs talk about these things all the time. But sometimes it's a lot of more short-term thinking, like what are my portfolio going to look like 3 months from now when I talk to my client? Is he going to hit me over the head with a 2x4? Because inflation hit, I'd better protect myself. You know, that's pretty short-term thinking. You have to think about, again, it goes back to what's important for your portfolio and what you need to do. It always goes back to the objective.
And very quickly, Nolly, since we have you here, I do want to get your thoughts on what's happened in the cryptocurrency space in recent times. As a wealth manager who takes risk management very seriously, how are you viewing the last 2 weeks in the cryptocurrency space, which seems to have highlighted just how price movements can be so closely linked to one person's comments, of course, as being Tesla CEO Elon Musk? What lessons, more importantly, can we draw from all of these things in terms of risk management and perhaps just dealing with wild price swings in a certain asset class, if we can call cryptos that at this point? Any lessons that can be drawn and perhaps any observations on your end that might be worth taking note of for investors based on the episode of the last 2 weeks?
There are always lessons. I think digital assets, well, first of all, just as a disclaimer, on the portfolios we manage, we have extremely little exposure to digital assets at all. It's not something that fits into our clients' portfolios. We manage portfolios of ultra high net worth individuals, and for a lot of them, you know, capital preservation is job number one, right? So I get it that cryptos have and other digital assets have very low correlation or even negative correlation with traditional assets like stocks and bonds. Yeah, we get that. But to put money into an asset because of its scarcity and its crowd sentiment, I don't think I can justify it. And to me, crypto, if I would say that, what does it stand for? It's not a substitute for gold. It's not a substitute for cash. So is it a proxy for exuberance? Could be. So it's not something that we really keep track of. We look at it because it's part of the universe, right? But it's early days. Let's just say it's early days. Crypto has a future somewhere, but it's not something that fits in most clients' portfolio. Mathematically, the only thing going for it for me is its low correlation. Yes, I've met a couple of I've met a few crypto millionaires, and more power to them that they got in and out properly. But that's the thing, you know, if it hinges on when you get in and when you get out, I just don't think it's right for the clients that we have.
Fair enough. I'd like to thank Nolly De Pala, the CIO for Trilake Partners here on Money FM 89.3 for joining us to talk about all the recent developments with regards to market jitters surrounding inflation and also lessons to be taken from the recent gyrations in the crypto space. Nolly, as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain times. And we look forward to next time we can have you join us in the show. Meanwhile, stay safe, stay dry, and have a great Tuesday, sir.
Thank you, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.